Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Half of winning a contest is defining the rules before you get going and understanding exactly where the goalposts are. And that's what candidates are still trying to do in this election. Very happy to welcome in from MERS Newsletter, the editor Kyle Malin, also columnist with City Pulse. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Jack?
Just fine. I guess that both candidates are trying to define the playing field in the 7th District congressional race. And we know where Tim Walberg wants to frame Mark Schauer. Mark Schauer striking back, and he's going to make this privatizing Social Security issue as big as he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one way that he can go. I mean, Mark Schauer cannot play defense in this race at all. He's got to play all offense, as if he's running as the challenger is instead of the incumbent. Yeah. Jackson County and the 7th Congressional District in general was a real win for Democrats when Mark Schauer beat Walberg back in 08. Mm-hmm. And now that the tide has turned politically, I think, in this country, and particularly in that 7th Congressional District, it's going to be really hard for Mark to keep that seat. In fact, it may be harder this time to keep it than it was to actually get it in the first place in 2008. So attacking Walberg on this idea of privatizing Social Security, I think, is one avenue he's going to go. I've also seen that he's going to do this attacking Walberg on outsourcing. Like he's got this creature called the outsourcer, which is really pretty goofy, but claiming that Walberg is a sympathizer to corporations that outsource jobs overseas. So we're going to see a lot of tricks in this race. And for those people who were tired of commercials back in 2008 with these two, prepare. We're going to see a lot of them here in mid-Michigan again this year.
Scott, you talk with Tim Walberg's staff, and he is going to come on with us a little bit later in the campaign. And Mark Schauer, of course, has been on this show many, many times. And there's a quote associated with an interview with Tim Walberg, and he said, "A seasoned campaigner like me understands that it is a buzzword is about as negative as a noose hanging around your neck," talking about privatizing Social Security. Mm-hmm. "But in talking with you, we all understand what that means. I definitely support the privatization of the so-called Social Security system." Is this about as basic a philosophical disagreement as Republicans and Democrats can have?
Yeah, it is. I think it is. Because what you're talking about is the role of government in people's lives.
Right.
And whether the free market is able to do something better than government. And I think that that's what Tim Walberg is getting at, and what a lot of Republicans are getting at, is that, if you've got a big government system over your head, it's more expensive, it's costly to taxpayers to have to fund it, when the private sector could do it cheaper and you could have more control over it. Obviously, you don't have the same type of security involved.
Right.
But on the other hand, if the thing goes belly up,
right,
who's on the hook for it? Certainly not the taxpayers.
Yeah, if Wall Street had been handling Social Security, I wonder what that would have meant.
We can only guess. Isn't that true? We can only guess.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the gubernatorial race now. And Virge Pinheiro, in a very familiar position as a double-digit underdog at this point in the campaign, are some of the same things that worked against Andy Dillon going to be trotted out, or is this an entirely different strategy against Rick Snyder?
Yeah, it is an entirely different strategy. It's an entirely different beast. You know, when he was behind Andy Dillon, I mean, we were talking about such an enormous number of undecideds, and really nobody really knew either candidate. They didn't know Virge. They didn't know Andy Dillon. And while really Rick Snyder is an unknown as far as his thoughts on maybe a lot of issues, folks feel like they know him because they've seen him on television.
Right.
These nerd ads have penetrated into the general public. I mean, people know him now as being the nerd and know that, hey, they kind of like the idea he's an outsider and is running for governor. So Verge has really got a real problem in that folks think they know, you know, Rick Snyder, whereas before they didn't really know Andy Dillon. So he was able to use the union money to define Andy Dillon. They defined Andy Dillon as not really a Democrat. They said, well, he's pro-life. He's pro-business. I mean, he was, as a businessman, he did X, Y, and Z. And Andy Dillon never really countered it very well. And so Verge was able to catapult past him. Well, now, folks think they know Rick Snyder.
Yeah.
And so while he is going to be able to trot out his past with Gateway, it's going to be harder for it to stick. Also, Verge was only able to beat Andy Dillon because the Democratic Party and the unions came in with $2 million at the very end,
right,
with some television ads and really moved Verge over the top. Without that money, Verge may not have won.
The other thing I think Verge did well was stick Andy Dillon with this Speaker of the Mess label when people realized all the stalemates and the quagmire that is Lansing politics. And I really can't hit Rick Snyder with that one either.
No, he can't, because, yeah, I mean, it goes to that point. I mean, he was able to find Andy Dillon, and so he can't define Rick Snyder necessarily. He's going to have to, it's not a fresh slate here. He's going to have to change people's mind that Rick Snyder is not the lovable nerd. He's actually an outsourcer who took over an American company, and now it's a Taiwanese company. And so he's going to have to change people's mind. Now, I think he can do it if he had a lot of money to run advertising,
right,
and get the message out. I just don't know if he's going to have that kind of money this time. I mean, the Democrats got to be very careful. They don't have unlimited resources here. They're going to have to make a decision. Do we want to pour money into keeping the state house, or are we going to do a little here, do a little there? Are we going to spend some in the Supreme Court race? There's a lot of different, you know, calculus that needs to go on here. And then you got to add to the fact that Rick Snyder's got almost I don't want to say unlimited money, but he can write himself a check.
Right.
And so if he feels like he's under attack, well, here, I'll just throw in another few million dollars, and voila, here's a few more ads countering the Verge ads. It makes this very, very tough for Verge. I'm not saying it can't be done. It's just going to be very, very tough.
Who will be making those decisions about where that money is spent for the Democratic Party?
I think the Democratic the big funders, the brass within the UAW, AFL-CIO, maybe to some extent. I think there's a core group of folks within the unions,
the power brokers,
who will decide, yeah, are we really going to put a lot of money behind Verge, or is it just good enough that we're able to get Verge on the ticket and not Andy Dillon?
You know, it's interesting you talk about the lovable nerd concept. We had Terry Bernero, Verge's wife and a Lansing Elementary School teacher, on this show, and she was telling a story about how they met.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to her door campaigning for a college office, and she told her roommate when she got back and said, "Was anybody here?" I said, "Yeah, just some nerdy guy." So she described Verge as a nerd. Maybe Verge could have a campaign saying, "Hey, I'm a nerd too."
Yeah, but see, then that's not original, though, is it?
No.
I mean, now he's kind of piggybacking on the nerd thing.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't work, and they would have a very different personality as nerds anyway. So
could you see it? Wouldn't that be interesting, though, to see the two nerds on stage together? I'm looking forward to these debates. I know they're really still messing around with the dates, and the Snyder folks are being a little coy as to when they want to do them and whatever, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
There are only going to be a couple, three of them, right?
Well, hopefully there's going to be three. I mean, Verge has said these are the three I'd like to do, but, you know, Snyder's got to, you know, decide when he wants to do them. And
I think Verge would like to do three a day.
Oh, he'd love to do three a day. Oh, yeah. And he would do very well at them. You know, the Snyder people didn't do but one debate on the Republican side, remember.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a debate in Detroit, and they had a debate in Grand Rapids. Rick Snyder wasn't in them. You know, you almost got to wonder, you know, we like them in the media. We like debates. But how many people actually watch the debates? And I wonder if they're going to take the attitude of, you know what, we don't really have to do these. You know, why are we doing them?
Mm-hmm.
Because Verge is going to probably win them.
Yeah.
He will look a lot better. I mean, the guy is a championship debater. Verge is. We know that. Snyder isn't that great at him. He's okay, but he's not great. And so they only really benefit Verge. So you wonder at a certain point if they're how they're going to maybe work their way out of them and not do them at all. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a single debate in this general election.
Wow. Well, if Rick Snyder decides not to debate a little bit later on in the process, wouldn't surprise me if Verge Bernero debated an empty chair and he could talk enough for both candidates.
Oh, he could. You know, you could do like Jeffrey Figer and debate a duck in a commercial, right?
Speaking of Jeffrey Figer, that's another topic. we're going to see him again, right?
Well, he says so. I mean,
do you believe him?
No.
No.
I mean, this guy says he's running for everything. You know, if it's not, if it's not this, it's governor. If it's not governor, it's attorney general. You know, who knows what he's really doing except drawing attention to himself and grabbing headlines. I don't really believe that Jeffrey Figer is running for anything until I actually see his name on the ballot.
Fascinating stuff. Kyle Malin, our guest, the editor of the MERS newsletter and columnist with City Pulse. Kyle, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Very good. We'll look forward to it, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk with the greatest running back in Michigan State history. Lorenzo White up next. One of the new honorees in the Hall of Fame class for Michigan State University. We'll be right back with that and more on Ebling and You.